Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Los Angeles, 2024.
Ooh, 2024, that surprised me for a minute. Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. You know who the hell I am. I'm H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
I'm Carrie Doherty, and following last week's episode of B. Arthur's Wildest Talk Show Moments, this week we're bringing you Rue McClanahan's Most Revealing Talk Show Moments.
I'm so excited
but
for this.
Before we get into it, today in the GGVIP Club, you're getting an all-new Rusty Anchor Happy Hour. You already know this. But this week, we are unearthing some dirty jokes that the women have told on camera over the years. Like Betty White saying something very provocative about William Shatner on a late-night couch. And Rue being caught on a hot mic telling a dirty joke to Betty on the set of The Golden Girls. We also weigh in on what we think was the dirtiest joke ever told on an episode of The Golden Girls. There's so many. It's really hard to choose.
There were lots. When you asked me that question, I was like, how much time do you have?
I know. Yeah. So that's all the stuff that we talk about. It's really, really fun. If you haven't yet joined the GGVIP Club, you can sign up at patreon.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast. And if you subscribe to either of our paid tiers, either $5 a month or $8 a month, you get so much extra bonus content.
It's true.
Then you're also supporting the two of us. So I know we keep talking about it every week. We're just so excited to be doing this, and we've gotten so much great feedback and people signing up. So we just want to remind you that it's there. And again, you can sign up at patreon.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast for all of that extra bonus good stuff.
But also no stress if you don't want to sign up. You don't have to sign up because we're not changing anything here, baby. We're just always telling people to sign up. So, you know, get used to that, but don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you can also sign up for free. There is content that you can get for free on there. So you can sign up for free also. H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines, before we dive into Rue's talk show moments, can I tell you?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law, who we spoke about last week, actually, it's both of my in-laws. While they were here and Stan was pounding the chicken,
I was messaging him that today about how hard it was for me not to. I even posted about it, but I didn't say the thing on my story that I wanted to say because I didn't want to embarrass him. But every time you talked about him beating the chicken, banging the chicken, I just kept thinking of like weird masturbation jokes and about Stan beating the meat, and it went in inappropriate places. So yes. That's it. That's the story.
That was the implication. That was the implication.
I know. But I found you holding back from literally saying beating the meat, which would be the expression that it very much indicates masturbation. And I didn't want to.
Well, you just said it.
I know I did just now. I know I did, which is usually my role. But last week, I didn't want you to think that I was thinking of your husband masturbating. You know what I mean? But you set it up for me to think about it, which was like, so then I had to think of the jokes. And then you really put me in a situation where I had to hold back and bite my tongue.
Well, I apologize for putting you in an uncomfortable situation. It doesn't make me uncomfortable if you want to think about that. I have a hot husband.
You do have a hot
husband. I'll say it.
He should do a recreation.
He's a hot dad.
He should do a recreation. He is a hot dad. Oh my God. If you guys ever go to Disney and you take a picture, then he can be on that DILFs or whatever of Disneyland. Because there's an Instagram account about hot dads at Disneyland.
Oh, that's fun.
Isn't
He'd it? Like that, I think.
And it is very distracting because there are some very attractive dads at Disneyland. And sometimes I'm like, oh, God bless your wife.
I'll check it out. But when my in-laws were here, they're on Weight Watchers. And so we ate a lot of Weight Watcher-friendly meals while they were here. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I've put on like 10 pounds since I had my kid. And I'm not exercising. I'm going out walking around in my neighborhood. I'm picking up a 28-pound toddler. But I was like, I'm not exercising like I used to. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try Weight Watchers and see if I just feel better. So I've been doing it for like 4 or 5 days now.
Yeah.
Stan also was going to do it with me, but dropped it after like a day. He's like, I can't. Yeah. I'm so hungry and angry.
Yeah.
And have you ever tried Weight Watchers before?
Yes, I'm on Weight Watchers right now. I've been on Weight Watchers for off and on for years.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Weight Watchers is such a, I mean, it's a polarizing tool because there's definitely some, especially people who are in the body positivity circles, which I support fully, have sort of a complicated relationship with Weight Watchers and sort of the implications of what Weight Watchers have done to how we view our bodies. And Jennifer Weiner, great author who wrote In Her Shoes and so many other amazing books, and I've had the privilege to interview her many times. She wrote a great op-ed in the New York Times basically talking about when Oprah came out and said she was using basically Ozempic, like a weight loss drug, and she has she owns like 50% of Weight Watchers or something now, and sort of the impact of Weight Watchers' role in sort of body negativity and us thinking about our bodies in negative ways for years and years, and that it really was just a self-control diet thing when we know now it's a medical thing. Like, obesity is a medical problem that like is an inherited problem oftentimes, and it's a genetic problem, and which it is in my case. And so like, it's a really interesting school of thought. That said, I think Weight Watchers is a very good tool just to understand portion control and how you eat throughout the day and sort of, you know, just lots of, it's always been very helpful for me when I need that little bit of guidance.
I agree. That's what I have. One, I like a system. You know me.
Yeah. Yes.
If you give me a system.
You love rules.
I have rules. Mm-hmm. You know me. I have rules to abide. I have a number that I have to stick to every week. And I'm with you in that it really has taught me so much about portion control and about, oh, wow. This much pasta, this slice of bread, this much avocado.
Avocado's crazy. Half
of a regular size avocado is 4 points.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. I know these things.
4 points.
Peanut butter's crazy. Listening.
So, don't even. Stan had a tablespoon of peanut butter and
It'll
was like, I can't do this. Because I was like, that's like 11,000 points right there. So, but I've been enjoying it. I enjoy the gamification of it. And I hear what you're saying about like the sort of the body positivity, like all that stuff. And I think like, and again, everybody like, you just got to do your own thing. Do what makes you happy. I'm not saying that like, that there should be any sort of shame attached to the way we look. It's just, I would like to see if I can lose 10 pounds. And if I don't, I will still feel good about myself. I just want to do it, you know?
Yeah. 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 I think you should. I mean, I think it's fine. Like I really support it. I think it's like whatever works for you should be the way you do it. And some people it's counting calories. Some people the calorie counting is like too much. And that's me. It's just too much for me. And even Weight Watchers sometimes becomes too much, but it's a really helpful tool when I do need it and use it. And I think the girls would have loved it. I think on Golden Girls, I think Rose would have done really well with it. I think Blanche would have done horribly on Weight Watchers. I think Sophia would have laughed it off. And I think Dorothy would have liked it until a certain point. There would be a frustration level that it would reach for her and she would go insane, quite literally.
I agree. I think too with Blanche. I mean, we've seen Blanche. Remember when Rose ate her little sensible meal, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, my quiche. And she's like, where's my sensible shake? She's like, I had to wash down the quiche. Like, I was still so hungry.
Yeah.
Blanche would have a hard time. Speaking of Rue and these sort of talk show moments, I have to say, in watching a lot of talk show interviews with Rue to sort of find some of the best ones that we were looking for, I've realized that a lot of people love to ask Rue the same questions, which are,
the sex.
Are
questions.
You like Blanche when it comes to dating? Always that. They love to bring up the fact that she's been married 5 times. And a lot of them ask really personal follow-up questions about that. Yeah. She, you know, she mentions that she's in the tabloids a lot and they're always sort of weighing in on her dating life and never getting it right. I also realized in a lot of these interviews, Rue McClanahan was so protective of Blanche as a character. And
yes.
And I will say, too, like, she's fine talking about her personal life. She will get cheeky when someone has gone too far. But she's incredibly protective of Blanche.
Which I also noticed that. Because she really, it really felt like she, I mean, in all of the clips and all of the interviews that we were covering today, it really felt like that she owned that Blanche character, that it really was defining her in a lot of ways. And she wanted it to be more nuanced than just a slut. And I think she was able to vocalize that very successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's, it's really nice. And when you think about it too, out of the 4 women, Blanche was the most well-developed as a character. I mean, she had layers that you didn't see in a ton of sitcom characters maybe at that time. Blanche had layers upon layers. She was like that Trident layers gum that was around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She had many layers.
She had many layers. There's also one, and we'll get to this, of course, when we get into it after the break. But there's one clip that was not a part. It was a part of an interview that we're going to cover, but it wasn't a part of the video that officially got put out. I don't know if it's in your notes or not. I wonder, it's probably not, but it's a very cheeky phone call that Rue received during one of the interviews. And it is, I can't wait to surprise you with it because I don't think you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know if I know what this is.
It's a clip pulled.
Oh, I love surprises. I love when you surprise me on the show with a clip. Should we take a break and then come back and dive into Rue McClanahan's most revealing talk show moments?
Let's do it.
And we are back with Rue McClanahan's most revealing talk show moments. The first one is Joan Rivers. This is 1987. Joan was filling in for Carson. I love Joan Rivers as a talk show host.
Do you know the history of this drama with Joan Rivers in this period of her life during The Tonight Show? Do you know this drama?
I don't know that I do. Fill me in while I get this eyelash out of my eye.
Late night epic. Like, it is Hollywood. It is wild. So Joan was Johnny Carson's go-to substitute. She was the one. She was always the one that when he wasn't there, she was the guest host. And she was huge for it. And people loved her for it. And that was what she was kind of a lot of times known for in the 80s. And then she struck an insane deal with Fox to have her own late night talk show. And I believe she didn't tell Johnny beforehand. And he was really hurt by it. And they never spoke again. They never spoke again.
Wow. And
it ended everything.
So this clip, is this her show and not her filling in for Carson?
No,
or
is
she filling in for Carson
show.
In this one?
This is The Tonight Show, okay. I believe. And I think this was The Tonight Show. And then when the Fox thing didn't do well and it kind of came and went. It was a fun talk show, though. It really was a fun talk show. And then, of course, her career spiraled and her husband, died by suicide. And so there was like a lot of trauma in the late 80s for her. And then she got her daytime talk show. And that's how she really built herself back. And that was a success. And she won an Emmy for it. But this period in Joan's life is fascinating. And her as a late night talk show host, oh my God, epic, epic. And you can tell the relationship between Rue and Joan here and how fun their back and forth is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's so shitty that Johnny Carson was like, meh, your success.
Yeah.
Meh.
Well,
like,
Johnny Carson was famously
that's what you
kind
want.
Of a dick.
You want,
No.
You want to be like, look, yay, now you have one. Not like, oh, I lost my favorite talk show host. Meh.
Yeah.
I apologize because I'm not 100% sure. I assumed that this was her filling in for Carson, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But let's, I don't know, maybe we can find it while we're watching a clip or something. But so when Rue is on, This was now 2 years into the Golden Girls. Rue was there to promote a play that she was doing in her downtime during the show, which goes to show Rue is such, she's a real performer. You know, she's not doing a big paycheck movie in her hiatus from the Golden Girls. She's doing theater. That's her true love.
Yeah.
And I do love about this interview, Rue reveals stuff about herself and the Golden Girls that I didn't know. And the first thing that Rue does, we don't have the clip for it, but when Rue comes out, the first thing she does is compliment the crew and the producers backstage. And I was like, you know what? That's really nice. She said like, oh, you've got such a great crew back there. Everybody's so nice. I just thought that was really sweet.
Well, because she's like a theater person and she recognizes that. Like that to me is so important with people. Like if you recognize that the people doing the hard work are the people backstage doing all of the shit. Like those are the backstage people are the real heart and soul of every show.
Uh-huh. They sure are. Rue, in this interview, did let us in on some fun behind-the-scenes trivia about rehearsals of the Golden Girls. That's a really fun moment that we have and we should play.
I'm going to play it.
Who is the fastest? When you sit down, what is it, Monday morning, you sit down with your scripts, right?
Yes.
Who learns the lines the fastest?
Oh, Betty, because she's blind as a bat. And she doesn't like to wear glasses because the character doesn't wear glasses. And so she has to, and says she has to memorize very quickly because, you know, she doesn't want to be on book. So she drops her book, second day.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful. What about you?
I'm right behind her.
And who's the slowest?
Well, B and Estelle are sort of neck and neck there. B chooses to carry the book right up until the last minute. She puts the book down just before we do the show.
Right.
She likes to stay on book as long as she can. And Estelle's just a little ahead of that.
I mean, I love Rue McClanahan as a guest. I found that, you know, as someone who, I mean, I talk to people for a living. I mean, it's like it's just sort of a thing. And so I feel like I'm very natural at sort of being able to talk with anybody about anything in any situation in any setting. And with B last week, when we covered her talk show appearances, she's of course an icon and amazing at interviews, but there is this nervousness with B. There is sort of a jittery, it's heartwarming and lovely to watch and we love her, but she's not as candid and as casual as Rue seems. She seems very much in her element, just randomly talking with Joan here. Betty White's also like that in a lot of the clips too, which we'll do on a future episode.
Gosh, Joan and Betty together, the two of them just trading like backhanded compliments.
So good.
Is so
it made
funny.
Me think that Betty could be a stand-up comic, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I mean, because she is. She's right up there with Joan. She can keep up. The one thing I did like about this story is that I'm not sure if Rue knew what was going on with Estelle at the time in terms of her stage fright, her trouble memorizing lines. But it did seem like she was very gracious about it by saying that B was also slow being off book. Like, I like that she didn't just, you know, single Estelle out, which was kind of nice. I was also looking during the clip. From the clip, it doesn't say what show it's from. So it could be filling in for Carson. It could be her own show.
Yeah, it didn't look. It looked like the Tonight Show. I'll have to admit, just from the set, because I know Joan set so well, and it looked like the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rue also in this interview reveals something about her gorgeous eyes that I didn't know.
I'm just looking at you. Your eyes are so blue. Can we get a close look at your eyes? They're just wonderful. No wonder men fall in love with you. You're just the most incredible.
I met one man recently who has eyes this color, but his are real.
Yes,
and I thought, nobody has eyes this color, and I met this man, and I said, wait a minute, are those real? They were real, so I guess I don't have to tell anymore. Now everybody knows, don't they?
So what color are the eyes underneath?
Oh, not quite as blue.
Not quite as blue.
Now, can I say something to this? So,
yes.
When I am doing a performance or a picture and I want it to really pop, I want to look otherworldly. I want to look elevated on a level that you look at it and you're like, I know you're gorgeous here, but I can't figure out what the thing is that's really making you the most gorgeous. In my situation, what is making me stand out is contacts. And I didn't know that about Rue before today. And I love that Rue also wore contacts to elevate her beauty of her face. And that's what it does. And at least for me in drag, it and I don't wear them often because it's hard, because like I'm blind as a bat, so I actually need like nothing obstructing my vision. But I, yeah, when I don't care about seeing anything and I can just take a beautiful picture, I can just put them in and be blind. And they make your face just pop in a way that is just so subtle, but everyone who looks at that photo is like, damn.
I have the dullest brown eye. I've always wanted like a cool colored eyes. I remember growing up, my best friend's dad would say about anybody that had brown eyes, like, it's just, you know, you're so full of shit, it's up to your eyes. That's what he used to say.
That's such a stupid dad thing to say.
Such a dad thing.
Yeah. My eyes are very pretty blue gray, I will say. I love my eyes.
Yeah, you have pretty eyes, just like Rue. I'm curious to know if she wore the contacts on the show, on the whole run of the show. Is it just while she was doing this play? Is it just for press appearances? I would have pushed her a little bit further and been like, do you wear these all the time?
I think it's for photos. She probably wore them when she was on the Golden Girls too, but usually when you're wearing contacts for vanity, it usually is in the situation of you being photographed. If someone is going to be mm-hmm. close up in your face and photographing you, you want to make sure that your eyes pop in the way that they need to pop.
I'm
going to
start checking out Rue. I'm going to start checking out Rue in photos.
You look at look at all the Golden Girls photos. You'll be able to see it, like all the press photos.
All right. I'm going to start looking at those. I want to play, I think it's just one more clip with Joan Rivers, where it's sort of an example of her defending Blanche and Blanche's character. And then after the clip, I had to do some math because Rue makes a claim that is false. And I did some math and I'm going to show you why it's false. So let's play the next clip.
What is the one misconception that you think the public has about you now? You would say, oh, they shouldn't write that about me. Well, damn it, you know.
Oh, they shouldn't write that about me?
Yeah, a misconception.
Well, I wish they would stop saying I've had six husbands when I've only had five.
that can break a girl's heart.
It doesn't seem fair. Let's get the facts straight.
What else do you think they think?
Well, they think that Blanche is such a sex bomb, and she really isn't. I mean, they think she's promiscuous. Blanche doesn't sleep around. Blanche has only had four dates in 2 years. You know, and most of them didn't work out. I mean, if you notice, she really isn't promiscuous. She talks about it a lot. But it's mostly a fantasy in her mind, and I don't want people thinking that she's such a tramp.
Which I think is, if you are playing a character that is so overtly sexual and so outwardly sexual, I think the way Rue McClanahan viewed Blanche is as more of a storyteller, that Blanche is more of a Mae West character. And she's talked about this too, that you know, we never saw Mae West have sex with anybody or be in bed with anybody. I mean, we saw her be in bed with some people, but like in a playful, like fully corseted dress up way. You know what I mean? Like we never saw, and she was never vulgar about it either. And I think Rue McClanahan viewed Blanche in the exact same way, that it was all tongue in cheek and playful, and it was meant to be flirtatious, all of the stories and the high impact stuff that she would talk about. You know, it was never meant to be like literal.
Yeah. I agree. I think that it just points to, again, those layers of Blanche. Mm-hmm. It's part of creating the many layers of onion that you can peel back on Blanche Devereaux. There's a reason behind it. It's part because she loves to embellish, but maybe also part because she is vulnerable and insecure and feels like, you know, her value comes from her looks. So I love that early on, Rue, whether it was developed as part of the character or if it was just something that Rue sort of took on herself as, this is why I think Blanche is the way she is. I just think it's phenomenal. I do, however, have to point out, so Rue said that Blanche only had four dates in 2 years, two seasons. I said, that seems low, but let me double check because maybe Blanche didn't have a lot of dates on the show in the first two seasons. I counted at least nine in 2 years.
One was a wedding.
Well, I have them all. So season one, you've got in the pilot, Harry. In the break-in, Lester. Blanche and the Younger Man, Second Motherhood, The Rich Guy, Job Hunting. Blanche gets a date with one of Rose's clients. In season two, End of the Curse, she goes out with the vet. Twas the Nightmare Before Christmas, we've got the Mall Santa. The Actor, Patrick Vaughn, Diamond in the Rough, Jake. Nine.
No wonder you're so good at Weight Watchers.
Rue embellishes just like Blanche. I know. I'm so fun and with counting.
Yes.
I have my two-year-old's excitement.
You literally did that list, and like I can imagine you earlier doing that list and then snacking on like six almonds and being like, oh, I have to track it. And you get excited about it.
I know. Oh, let me scan this. Yes.
You get off on the scanning. Oh. That's it. I feel like everyone who's on Weight Watchers has a different thing scanning. They get off to. I love the scanning too. Oh, there is nothing better than a scan product.
I like to scan and then be surprised and go, oh, how low those points. I can't believe it.
I know.
Yes, I'll indulge.
I'm always surprised by yogurt.
I'm learning to love sugar-free products, sugar-free with like sugar substitutes. I feel like those things may not be as good for you, but
well, you know what you should try. Like. You should try. Yeah, I don't do the sugar-free puddings because they make me gassy. But you can try the Chobani or whatever it's called, zero sugar yogurt. Delicious.
Mm. I think I've had that one before. I think I've had the coconut one. It's really good.
Very good.
So. To wrap up the Joan interview, Joan asks Blanche what her favorite episodes are, and Rue says the funniest to her was A Little Romance, which of course won an Emmy for Best Writing, and then she says this latest season she loved Isn't It Romantic, the Jean episode, which she calls the lesbian show. I'm going to start calling Isn't It Romantic the lesbian show from now on, because that's what Rue McClanahan calls it.
It does.
I'm quite fond of you show. The lesbian show tonight on The Golden Girls. So next up is Rue's appearance on the Pat Sajak show, which aired for 1 year on CBS. I don't have the year in front of me.
Well,
but
the shit show this was. We know what year it was because Sophia or Dorothy made a joke about it during one of the seasons of The Golden Girls, like because it failed. I mean, the Pat Sajak show failed miserably. Like it was like not like he left Wheel of Fortune for this late night show. I think he left it. And it did not go over well. And then, yeah.
Well, I will say he's not a very charismatic talk show host.
No.
It did not seem like he wanted to be there or that he was having a good time.
Well, spoiler alert. I mean, Hollywood rumor alert here. Hollywood gossip, ready for it? Pat Sajak's a monster, apparently. Pat Sajak is notoriously known to have attitude and to be whatever. Also, fun fact about a GGVIP member of our little four-person GGVIP club that we have, me, you, Alaska, and Elliot. Elliot appeared on Junior Wheel of Fortune when he was a little kid, and I think he won. I don't remember if he won or not. And if you ever want, listen to this, everyone listening, please go do this. Go to Elliot's page and comment on some random post and talk about Wheel of Fortune because it is his trigger. He is so pissed because there's a rule on Wheel of Fortune that if you've appeared once, you can never appear again. You can never be on it again. And that applies.
Does Elliot want to be?
He is.
Does Elliot
desperate.
Want to be on it again?
It is his. He is desperate to be on Wheel of Fortune again. It is his life mission to be on Wheel of Fortune again, to the point
why
where,
didn't we take him to go on Price is Right when we went?
Because he doesn't give a fuck
ago.
About Price is Right. He only cares about
it's
Wheel
the
of
one
Fortune.
Show.
He wants to be on Wheel of Fortune, and it will be the most passionate response you will ever get from Elliot. And I have made fun of, literally, I have had to tell him to this day, Elliot, it's time to move on. You need to give it up. This dream is dead, and he won't give it up. He won't give it up.
Oh, poor Elliot.
We've auditioned for other shows, though, and I think we can't. We're too charismatic for game shows. They don't want charismatic people. They want normal people.
Sure. I mean, I feel like we're normal enough, but eh.
No. Not to get
so
cast.
Despite the fact that Pat Sajak sucks, I did love Rue in this interview, partially because of what she was wearing. She had on this really cool black jumpsuit with a stole that was made from fake flowers. It was like brown roses with a cool design on the inside. And I don't remember if we have the clip, but she talks about it. It's a company, an artist that paired with PETA called Fur Flowers that you can make. Oh, I think we do play it because Pat Sajak has some follow-up questions about PETA. So Rue is like, she's like, I rushed over, you know, 40 minutes ago, I was across town rehearsing for the Golden Girls. I didn't even have time to put my stockings on. And so, I mean, Rue, but she's like, but I heard the show is great and Estelle had a good time. So we're going to have to find when we do Estelle's interviews, see if that one's worth watching. So, like I said, everybody, when they interview Rue, they want to talk about how many times she's been married. Joan did it. And now here, Pat does it. But I wanted to pull this one because there are two moments where it feels like Rue is a little annoyed and she tries to shut him down. Yes. So to start, Pat pushes Rue to admit how many times she's been married. And then this is where it starts.
I hate Pat Sajak.
All right. More than
you can say it.
Five?
Five?
You can count them on one hand.
Now, are you still pals with these guys or any?
Well, I'm very, very good friends with my second husband, Norman Hartwig.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, yeah. Well, no. Why not? We started out, you know, we were 19 when we met, and we were friends then, and we went through some rocky times, and we've been very good friends ever since.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to dwell on this, and I certainly won't. But each of those five times that did you feel as you're doing it that this was it, this was going to be the one and it was going to be forever? Or
no, I got married so I could get divorced, Pat.
Like, what a dumb fucking question, Pat Sajak.
I'm so glad he's retiring. Did you know Vanna White, like, for years never got a raise on the Wheel of Fortune? I'm not saying that's because of Pat Sajak, but I'm saying it's because of Pat Sajak. And now that bitch is out of there and Ryan, whatever his name is the new host. I forget Seacrest? Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is the new host soon. That Vanna White will get the respect and the money she deserves.
Yes, yes. Go Vanna White. I love
her
so much.
She's also a very proud, not to get political, but she's a very proud liberal Democrat. Thank you. Unlike Mr. Pat Sajak.
Vanna. Yeah. I love that Rue shut him down when he's like, I don't want to dwell on this and I won't. And she goes, but you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She just, I'm surprised he didn't ask her to divulge the rocky times that she went through with her second husband. So then Pat asks her about her flower fur. We will post a photo of it. It truly is absolutely stunning because she is there to talk about this show that she's doing. I forget what it's called. It's called like Rock of Fur or something. And there are a lot of artists, Belinda Carlisle, River Phoenix at the time.
Oh, that was my first concert, part of Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, that's my story.
Do you want to find a way to now seamlessly segue into the clip? That's what I was trying to do.
Oh, sure. Well, you know what? Heaven is a place on earth whenever Rue McClanahan's involved. Boom!
Yes, that was great. Good job.
Yes, you're welcome.
Tell me about this thing here now. This is interesting. Yeah.
Okay. You can see it if I'm sitting down well enough.
Yeah, I think so. Sure.
This is called flower fur, and it's made by a young woman in New York, Rachel London. And PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is PETA. In touch with her. And so they got in touch with me because I'm one of their spokespeople to show it to everybody because it's just really neat. It looks wonderful on because, you know, when you're dressing up, you don't want to wear furs. And of course, nobody wants to wear furs anymore. We're cutting furs out. We're doing everything we can to eradicate all that cruelty and nonsense that's been going on for so long.
But let me ask you something, and I don't mean to put you, make you the spokesman for the cause here, but you're here.
I'm one of them. That's what I'm here for.
So what about, I mean, there are thousands of people who make their living in the fur industry in the Northwest, in Canada. What do you say to those folks?
Well, there were lots of people who made their living as blacksmiths. We finally got out of that era. I mean, you know, trappers don't have to do that as a living. And people don't have to buy those fur coats that represent great cruelty and even fur farming.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah, bitch. That's how you respond to someone who is clearly asking you a question about, well, devil's advocate. No, go fuck yourself, Pat Sajak.
Yeah, it's weird because it I mean, she was there to talk about the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. But then it did feel like he was baiting her with the question a little bit.
He's trying to be an interview, like a journalist type person, and he's not. And he's just trying to like capture a moment. And I'm sorry, I'm very much anti Pat Sajak.
Yeah, I think it's clear we both are. I did notice the way that Rue says, she says flower fur or fur flower. The way she said that reminds me of right now, little Oreo. The way she says the word learn and like worm, she sings this song that Elmo sings and she goes, when we learn something new, and it's the cutest thing. And then sometimes has this little alphabet apple game that spells and she says it's W-O-R-M. And she goes, worm. It's really funny.
I like how it sounds like she almost talks like Mr. Bean does when you randomly hear him talk on Mr. Bean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I love the way that Rue says New York in this because it reminds me of my favorite movie, Terms of Endearment, when John Lithgow says to the cash register lady, who is being very rude to Deborah Winger, and then she goes, I don't think I was being rude. And then John Lithgow goes, well, you must be from New York. And it was just so like New York, and she said it the same way. But before we get to the next clip, we really do need to take a break because I need to cool off on my hate from Pat Sajak. I need to cool down a little bit.
Let's do it, because guess what? Our next clip is from Oprah, so that'll just bring all the joy back into the room.
Thank God.
And we are back with an Oprah clip.
Oprah!
Now, I have to say, this technically isn't a talk show interview with Rue because this is Rue's garden that is featured on Oprah, and Rue is part of a taped segment with a correspondent.
Yes.
So this is also post Golden Girls, I believe. It sounds like it's 8 years since she bought her house, which she actually had just bought when she did the Pat Sajak interview. So I was obsessed with this clip because it just, again, it was very revealing to me about Rue McClanahan as a person. Mm-hmm. I love to learn. This woman didn't even give a shit about the house that she bought. She's just like, I want to find something that has a beautiful yard. That's all I care. I want to have gardens and gardens and gardens.
Yep.
So that's sort of what this clip is all about.
Ooh, I love it.
A gorgeous yard. That's what I want. I didn't care too much about the house. And I looked for 8 years until I found, and when I saw this place, I said, okay, this is it. This is going to be my toy for the next year or two. And believe me, it was.
I could do this all day long.
So could I.
Some enchanted evening.
He's pushing her on a swing.
We have a little garden here. We have two little gardens in the back. We grow tomatoes out front by the front gate. We grow tomatoes and peppers. I took stuff into Golden Girls every year, you know, all kinds of stuff, squashes and you name it.
How about some tomato hints?
Well, pick your tomatoes when they have just begun to turn pink, barely, when they just have a tinge of color on them, other than green. Don't wait for them to get ripe on the vine. You pick that tomato and you let it ripen in the sun then, if you want to ripen quickly, or the shade if you don't. And it'll ripen and it'll be delicious and sweet. The other thing is, you know, in the crotch, you'll find a little tip. I'm going to pinch those off. If you pinch those off, these grow stronger. And it's so much fun to do. You go through your tomato vines and you look for the crotch and you do the little pinch. And you do the little pinch, you can get rid of a lot of hostility that way.
You know, it wouldn't be Rue McClanahan if she didn't tell you to look for the crotch, and that looking for the crotch and pinching it was a way to release hostility. I mean.
Wasn't there a joke on the Golden Girls where it was either Blanche was sleeping with a married man, or it was Dorothy cut all the crotches out of Stanley's shorts.
Oh, yeah, I think it was Dorothy with the crotch. I think it was Dorothy, yeah.
I see.
I could be wrong.
That's
Everyone
sort of
knows
what that
I'm the one who forgets everything.
We will link to all of these clips in the show notes. I highly recommend watching this one because it really is fun to see Rue.
It's fun.
At her home in her, she had just gardens, uh-huh. vegetable gardens, flower
but
gardens.
But it's interesting because
it's just a really fun peek into her life.
We know that in the end of her life, she moved to New York City and she was primarily living in New York City at that time. So I don't know if she kept this home for very long because this is from the early aughts, maybe late 90s. I don't know when this video came out, but
so we know that she's been living in this house at least 8 years.
Yeah. So I think she probably moved to New York at the very end, like literally within the last 10 years of her life.
Yeah. So that was it for the Oprah clip. And our next clip is, I mean, this is just, it's hearkening back to Bea Arthur. It's Dame Edna's Hollywood in 1992. Rue appeared. I had to pull a Dame one because it was just the Dame Edna one was so funny. So on this appearance, first of all, Rue is wearing this black and gold tight like suit. She's got the 80s Madonna hairband, kind of the poof in her hair. I just thought she looked so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I also like, I guess Dame Edna had a running bit where she gave her guests name tags.
Yeah.
Because they're in the one with Bea Arthur, Cher had one. So she gives one to Rue and she's like, well, I didn't have one that said Rue, but she gives her one that said Kanga. And I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
So they're doing a fun bit where Rue is like ragging on Dame Edna a little bit. And Rue, it feels like Rue is putting on a little bit of Blanche in this moment. Mm-hmm. Let's play it.
Thank you. You don't know what an honor this is. I admire you so, particularly the way you dress, your whole getup. I think you show such nerve.
Thank you.
I do hope by the time I'm your age, I have that kind of daring, that kind of joie de vivre. Oh, I think it's highly commendable.
What a fascinating little talker you are, too. You are.
I love Dame Edna so much.
I love the jib jabbing, and it must have been such a fun way for Rue to mix up kind of the traditional talk show appearances where you just get to, you know, go and have fun. And then in the end, Robin Williams pops in to deliver a pizza, and it's bizarre and weird and fantastic.
The 90s in Hollywood was on one hand so toxic, and then on another hand so wonderful.
So wonderful. So wonderful. So the next clip, and I believe this is our last one, but there are a couple of fun moments. And I know you have something to surprise me with, which I'm very excited about. So this is Rue on Larry King. And I believe this is during the second season of The Golden Girls. This one is my favorite, not because of Larry. Larry's great, but it's because of the callers in this. So before we get to the callers, I do want to say, do you think Larry King has ever actually seen the Golden Girls when he interviews Rue?
That's a great question. I don't think Larry King does any work going into any interview ever. I mean, one of my favorite clips, like viral clips ever is, who's that rapper? But he's a larger rapper, and literally Larry King goes, so how'd you put on so much weight? And it's like, it's the most jarring question. It's Larry was both a wonderful and horrible interviewer at the same time.
Well, it was funny because he's talking about the Golden Girls. He's like, it's DJ Khaled. This show?
DJ Khaled, right? Yeah, DJ Khaled. That's the fat rapper.
And he said, how did you get that? That is mind-boggling.
I'm just watching Michael do this to me. He's just doing this to me, and I don't know. Wait, just say it. What is he? He's just a DJ? Oh, he's a producer. Well, whatever.
Oh, you too. So one thing I liked about, and this is where I go, you know, does he know who Rue McClanahan is? Because he's asking her about kind of landing the big job at her age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, no, she had been a working TV actor. But I wanted to pull this clip because of the playful candy that Rue calls him in this moment when answering the question.
Do you feel kind of, gee, why did this happen, all this wonderful thing, even though you'd been around sometime, so late?
Well, better late than never. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. What if it had happened 20 years from now? You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
Let's take some calls for Rue McClanahan.
How cute is that? You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
I love that. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? I'm going to start saying that
so
to people.
Good.
You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
It's so sweet. And you know what? I also love that answer.
Yeah.
Better now than later, I guess. It was a really good answer. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to set up the next clip.
Please. But I'm excited.
What would you like to say?
I was going
to
say something about the next clip.
Do you have a Jelly Bean story?
No, I don't have. Well, I probably do. I probably do. But I love the next clip because, and this is something that I loved about Larry King. So Larry King takes calls from, like, you get, people can call in to the Larry King show, which I love. And there, it creates these surprises and these genuine moments in these celebrities that, like, we don't really see on, because celebrity interviews now, I can tell you from working in that space, how it works. It is the most controlled environment. Celebrities expect questions to them in advance, which I will never, ever do.
They go through publicists.
It's so produced. Yeah. And that sort of spontaneity of an interview is sometimes lost on many celebrities now. And so this moment that we're about to hear is a rare moment of a celebrity just getting a random call from someone. And the response is just so genuine.
And I think both Larry and Rue were surprised by this, which was really fun.
Yeah, let's play it.
And I think we're going to go to Ardmore, Oklahoma. Hello.
Yes, hello. Larry.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
This is Phyllis and Don Rose in
Phyllis.
Ardmore, Oklahoma. Hello, Ruth.
Hello, Phyllis and Don. Oh, Lord, how are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm so glad you got through.
We just visited with your dad today and told him you were on and that we were going to try to get through tonight. He told us about your movie you were doing in Spain. What is it and what you've done?
He did. Didn't you get my post? You got my postcards from Spain.
Not
didn't
yet.
You? Oh, my Lord, is that mail slow?
I feel like I'm interrupting a call. What did you do in Spain?
I did The Man in the Brown Suit, an Agatha Christie murder mystery. And it was for 4 weeks in Spain while they were having their hot spell. While you were having your hot spell here?
Yes.
I was having our hot spell there.
And these people on the phone are all friends of yours from your hometown, right?
Yes. That's Phyllis and Don. They're beauticians in Ardmore. That's my hometown.
I love this moment. So I will say my moment from the Larry King show, which you have not heard yet, is better. But I love this moment so much.
I love it. I love it. I love the surprise. I love that they hijack the interview because they keep on chatting and Larry finally has to kind of cut them off and go, okay, we're going to take another call.
Yep.
Do you want me to set up the next? Do you want to play your surprise clip or is my clip next?
Let's do your clip next and then we'll do mine afterwards because it's also a Larry King clip.
Okay. Okay, so then they get a caller from Malden, Mass, and oh my God, is this guy from fucking Massachusetts?
Yes, yes.
Play it.
I'm gonna play it.
Congratulations on your well-deserved Emmy, and wish you many more years with Golden Girls.
How very nice, thank you.
My question, I hope it's not true, but are there fans out there that bother you because they think you're just like the character you portray?
Do you say, are there fans who bother me?
Are there any fans out there that bother you in the sense that they think that you're just like the character you portray?
Well, honey, I am just like the character I portray. Now, how could I be bothered by that? No, honestly, no. I get a kick out of it.
I love it. I love it. I love that he set it up that she would be embarrassed by like being sort of a trampy lady or like a lusty lady. And now she's like, no, I love it. I am that.
I will say, despite the fact that the question was a little weird, I do feel like he took the time to present it in the most respectful way and knowing he was going to be on TV. Because I feel like what was in his mind was like, you know, Rue, like when you're out to dinner at Fireside Grill or like Olive Garden or like wherever you go to eat, are people just like yelling slut across the bar, like stuff like that at you? So I feel like that was the question in his mind.
Yeah.
He is every single person I grew up with. I love it. He's like, congrats on your well-deserved Emmy.
Good.
You know, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So another fun thing that we learn in this episode is that, so now season 3 is out. So she says her favorite episode this season is Strange Bedfellows with Gil Kessler. Mm. So we've now been able to track in season 1, her favorite was A Little Romance. Season 2, it was The Lesbian Show.
Yeah.
And now season 3, it's Strange Bedfellows.
Wow. I mean, there are so many. Rue McClanahan hit the circuits, both daytime and nighttime talk shows. Like, I just recently saw a Vicki Lawrence clip where she's talking about how busy she is, and then she has her QVC line or something of clothing that she does. So, like, Rue was hustling. Rue was out there doing stuff. Now, I want to keep going on the Larry King, though, because there is a moment from this interview that I believe it was on air, but CNN has, I don't know if they intentionally are leaving this bit out of the clip that they have of this episode, or it's just been lost. But there is a moment from this where I just have to play it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Okay. All right. I'm excited.
Lansing, Michigan. Hello.
Yeah. I'd like to know, when was your first fuck you ever had?
A young admirer.
That was a pornographic phone call from a little kid. Isn't that fun?
I think that, okay. Maybe he meant job. Let's say he meant job.
No, where was your first paid job?
No, Rue would like it the other way, yeah.
Oh my God. Now, what I love about this is somehow that kid got through. I don't know what producer was not screening calls, but somehow that kid got through, or that kid lied and said he was going to ask a different question than ask that question.
He was going to ask another question, of course.
But then I love Rue's fully genuine, like almost like giddy over this question, how she got this question. Like, it's just so funny. But then Larry genuinely sounds flustered, sounds uncomfortable with this question and this moment and everything. And she, at the end of that clip,
he's probably thinking about the advertisers.
Well, yes,
who
probably
are going to be very upset.
And then he says something like, it probably meant performance or whatever. And then she's like, no, then let's just go to the next question. I love it so much.
That's so funny. You know what's also fun? One thing that Rue mentioned in a couple interviews, we didn't pull any clips, was that because people are like, you know, why do we feel like the Golden Girls, you know, why it took so long for a show like this to come about? Why do you think that people were, you know, not sure if it was going to be successful? And she talks about how people of all ages love the Golden Girls. And Rue says that most of her fans, the fan mail that she gets, are from like 14-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that was one of her fans. And then I was like, H. Allen Scott, was that you? I mean, you wouldn't have said that to Rue McClanahan, but you were surely a 14-year-old boy writing her letters. But she said it was boys mostly was where she got most of her fan mail.
Well, I mean, young homosexual boys, let's be real. But yes.
Well, yeah, yes, that's what I assumed.
I would have been one of them if I were old enough.
That was so young. Wow. I'm so glad that you found that moment.
Thank you.
That was
thank you.
That
I wasn't,
was a shocker. I was
barely in the double digits when the show went off the air. Barely. So I mean,
Barely. You're a baby.
I was a baby, so there's no way. I couldn't even, I didn't even know what a pin was.
I'm loving this character that we are developing right now.
There's no character. I'm literally just being Sadie here.
Well, Sadie is a character.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I mean, Sadie is an extension of you.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true.
Those
this was
were,
so much fun.
Those were all of the clips. Oh, my goodness. I learned so much about Rue McClanahan and was just reminded at how much of a charming, smart, funny, vivacious, gorgeous woman she was.
Yeah, she kind of gives me... Because like what I was talking about before, about how Bea Arthur was sort of more nervous interviewer and or interviewee, and Rue is more sort of like, you know, chill. She kind of reminds me of like a like an Emily Blunt. If you ever Google Emily Blunt, like late night interviews, or like who's another one? I mean, there's so many good ones that when you watch them, Sarah Paulson is also like that too, where she's just a good interview and she gives good interview and it's charming and interesting and funny and all of the things. And Rue is kind of like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's great. Should we take a little break and come back with some golden takeaways?
I need it. I need it after that last caller. I want to find that kid and ask him, how dare you?
You're looking at that kid in the mirror right now.
And we are back with our golden takeaways, which is a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your life or the lives of our listeners. So, Carrie, do you remember your first fuck?
I can't.
I had to.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, so
oh
good.
My gosh.
So good.
You are on fire tonight.
I know.
Okay, all right. Pull it together, people. In lieu of a golden takeaway, we had so many clips, so much fun stuff to play that I wanted to mention one more thing that I learned about Rue McClanahan that I thought was very interesting that I didn't know about the Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. So I'm using that. You know how like when you get your extra bonus weekly points in Weight Watchers and you're like, I'm going to roll these over. I'm rolling it over is what I'm doing.
Oh, nice.
See, I brought it back.
Wow.
So one thing I learned, I believe it was in the Larry King interview, Rue mentioned that when they taped the Golden Girls on Fridays, because we know from Marsha Posner-Williams that they would do a rehearsal and tape that in front of a live audience. Mm-hmm. And then they would make script changes and then tape the show again in front of another audience a few hours later. I didn't realize how big the audiences were.
Yeah.
Rue says there were 300 people every episode, which means there are 600 people who got to see a live taping of a Golden Girl, like per episode. So, and I know that there were return people probably, but think about how many people have seen a live taping of the Golden Girls. I bet you there's one person in your life you're not aware, like, oh, that person was in town in LA and they saw a taping of the Golden Girls. That's so many people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's wild, but I kind of...
I didn't realize those sets could hold that many people.
I mean, maybe it was different in the 80s. You know what I mean? Maybe they were like, this is like a marketable thing. Let's make it huge. Because now it's like maybe 100 people.
I was going to say, I went to a sitcom taping of The Great Indoors. A former guest of ours, Demir Kanizia, a good friend of mine, wrote on the show, and I went to see a taping of his episode. And yeah, there were maybe 100 people in the audience. So if the Golden Girls had 300, we got to ask Marsha. Maybe that's just Rue conflating numbers again.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could totally see that.
What's your golden takeaway?
My golden takeaway from this is there needs to be, you know, one of the my favorite Instagrams. I don't really listen to the Howard Stern show very much, but I do enjoy the Instagram because you get those call-in moments, you know, that I didn't realize how much I enjoy them until like I go down a wormhole of them, and they're just so enjoyable. So like my golden takeaway is more of a request from the universe to create more moments where celebrities and you know, people who are doing these kind of things are forced to be around regular people and interact and talk with regular people so that you can have these wonderful moments, you know, because I have found that in my career, I call myself a professional fan. And I think it's fun to see that with celebrities, to hear us talk to them in the ways that we talk to them and how we can talk to them instead of having that like Barbara Walters moment where it's all serious and emotional. No, I want to know, you know, that what you thought of that weird viral AI picture that went crazy about you of you being sexy hot. I asked Josh Hutcherson about that recently. And I want to know that answer. That's the question I want to ask. I want to know their reaction to it. Not like,
how'd you emotionally deal with
who played the most pranks on set?
Yeah. Boring.
Oh, my goodness. Well, everyone, this has been another episode of Out on the Lanai. Thank you all so, so much for listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are a part of Mom Moguls of Media. So go on and subscribe to Mom Plus and all the wonderful things and listen to all those podcasts. And you can follow us on all of the socials at Golden Girls Pod on Twitter, Out on the Lanai Official on Instagram, Golden Girls Pod on Facebook. And I am Sadie Pine / H. Allen Scott on everything.
And I am Squid Eat Squid on Twitter and Squidzy on Instagram. And again, if you want to check out the GG VIP Club where you can get tons of bonus content from the two of us, you can go to patreon.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast. And if you have a moment and you can leave us a nice rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes.
Those things really do help.
And guys, remember,
as always,
Stay golden.
I think we were really off on that one.
We were. It's fine.
You just had It's Pat vibes.
Out on the Lanai is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, Disney, or any of its subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips of the Golden Girls are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.